ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be done without Jesus. We cannot assume that we can do it on our own. We cannot. I cannot do this by myself without God, without His calling and His leading, His putting it in order. Today we're going to be looking at encouraging one another. So turn with me in your Bibles today to 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to focus this topic on this verse we see in verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. And would you all stand for the reading of God's word, if you are able? Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Bless your word today, Lord, in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians to the Thessalonians, the church there in Thessalonica, and he is exhorting them, he's saying to them, you don't have any need that I tell you about the times and seasons we live in. You already know that. You're children of the light, he is saying in the verses at the beginning of chapter 5. You know that the Lord is coming and his coming is at hand. You know the times we're living in. You know that it can come. The Lord himself can come at any moment. It won't be like a thief in the night to you because you're ready and waiting. You know. There are some that don't. That when the Lord comes, they're not aware. They're asleep. It'll be like a thief in the night. They won't know. They are not awake. They are not awake in Christ. They are not living for the Lord. They are not listening to God. They may have gotten to a place where they are cold and indifferent to God if they knew him, or just being negligent, or maybe they've never known the Lord, but it will be like a thief in the night to them. But not, Paul is saying to these that he wrote. He is saying to them, you know, you are children of the light. Verse 4 says, 5:4 says, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Verse 8, we'll skip down to verse 8, says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. These things we are aware of, we know about. I believe you know and have heard these things. These things are actions that we take. These things are important to our spiritual being and well-being, and important to the work of Christ, important to the body of Christ. And how we take care of our body is very important, isn't it? I've had some conversations this morning about how well that we are taking care of our body, or what we need to do better at taking care of our physical body. I've had conversations during the week on how well we're doing at taking care of our spiritual body and in the Word of God, and how well we're taking care of the body of Christ, and that is what we are, the church, the body of Christ. Very important. Then we come on down, we'll skip on down to verse 11. Therefore, Paul says, therefore, encourage one another. So what's the next step? We know these things. Now, what's the next step? What are we to do? What is the Word of God saying to us today here at Easley First? What is it that we need to take home, hold fast to, apply in our life, live out? That is, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. Verse 12 says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you. This is part of that. There's a list after this part. Saying, Paul is telling them step by step and area by area what to do. We are without excuse. We know this is exactly how to do it. Let's not go ahead and go through life without reading these instructions. Let's not try to put it together on our own and fumble up and mess it all up, because we will if we're trying it on our own. But we have the Word of God and we have these instructions. And they still apply to us today, this very day, this very hour. And Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians all that time ago. But yet it's relevant right here in this hour, right now. Instructions. What is the will of God for you, for me, for us? That's a question. What is it? We ask that often. What's God's will? Well, I'm seeking you, Lord. What's the will? Here is for today. Instructions we see in verse 12. Instructions for the attitude. I have at times had attitude problem. Anybody with me? Y'all, don't leave me alone. We do struggle with the attitude at times. And the Lord will check our spirit and say, "Nah." Or the Word of God, certainly, just He just speaks to us and lets us know. If we're paying attention, we will hear Him and know. So this is talking about attitude and attitude towards certain people in the church. And he says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you. I see a lot of people who labor among us right here in our presence in this sanctuary this morning, and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And these we're to respect. You can think about what respect means in your heart and mind. What does it mean to respect yourself? Well, you're going to take care of certain things. You're going to have certain values that you hold fast to. You're going to fight the good fight. You're going to stand firm in your faith. You're going to respect yourself. And then we are to respect those over us in the Lord. What does that mean? That means when it's difficult or when it's easy, to respect those who are over us in the Lord. What does that mean? That means we don't tear down with our mouth or the words or complaining and griping and grumbling. I thank God that I'm here in a very wonderful congregation of people who love one another. When we love one another, we encourage one another. And this is saying, here's how we do it. Will we respect others? Verse 13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. That's the rest of it. To esteem them very highly does not mean put them on a high pedestal. They'll never fail. They'll never falter. That doesn't mean that. That means esteem them in love. Consider them your own. Pray for them. Walk through it with them. Don't run from a problem. Work it out. That means pray. 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 Our leaders in our churches around the community need prayer. Prayer is the avenue to reaching the mighty God we serve. And He is the one who calls us to prayer. If my people who are called by my name would but humble themselves and pray. The Lord says He will hear from heaven and He will heal their land. We cannot take that for granted. Today, God wants us to pray. He wants us to respect those over us in the Lord, to esteem them and love. The next thing we see is instructions for being at peace with ourselves. Have you ever had a time where you didn't feel peace? Right in here, there's a struggle. We know our bodies, our flesh. We have this warfare going on. the spirit warring against the flesh, the flesh warring against the spirit. That doesn't sound very peaceful, does it? When we are in the Word of God, God just remedies it. He makes a peace. He leads us in the way of peace and helps us to walk in that way of peace. When we are looking at this, Paul is admonishing them. He is saying to them here in verse 14, and we urge you, brothers, verse 13, the last part says, be at peace among yourselves. And in verse 14 says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. The word admonish means correct. It means warn. That doesn't mean be harsh or harmful. There's a way to help and there's a way to hurt. There's a way to make it better and a way to make it worse. And when someone is having a struggle, there's a way to sit with them through it and help them out. Come alongside them and lead them out. Sometimes we're not aware of things and we need to be told. But we would probably reject it if we were told in an arrogant way, a prideful way. We would probably reject it if we were told something very important, even something God wanted us to hear, even something so vital to our salvation and soul. We would probably reject it if someone came with a tinge of jealousy. We would probably reject it if something like that happened. The Bible tells us to admonish our brothers and sisters, though. When we see things, we need to help out. You can't do that without the Lord. We can't do that without the Lord. We cannot meddle in God's work without direction from God. He's the one who will show and help. We can't do that without praying. We can't get the word from the Lord how to go about it without asking God first what this is all about, how to do this. And then we cannot go forward without it being biblical. And there are ways and steps to take biblically to admonish. Galatians 6:7 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit, not the spirit of your flesh, not their flesh, but by the Spirit of God, should restore that person. The word here is gently. But watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. Or you also may be tempted. Be very careful here. But don't neglect the need that's there when it arises. Now you may have to have good counsel, certainly from the Lord first, but then you may need to call on someone to talk about this thing. Do not, this is the tempted part, do not get caught up in the gossipy part. There's a fine line there. It's a very fine line. Beware, be aware. God is listening. The Bible says, he says he wants them to encourage. We see here, verse 14, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Someone who is idle would be someone who's not really, let's look at it this way. We're in the field, and we're working in the harvest, and everybody's working, but you got this one out there in the field. Who's there? Praise the Lord, he's there, or she's there. Out in the field, everybody's working hard. But this person is just sort of like distracted by something. Not really on task, not really even doing anything. Maybe they are planting the seed, not in the ground where it need be, but on the rocks. Maybe there's something that needs corrected. Gently help them see what is right and correct. If they're standing around being idle, Maybe they're gossiping. Maybe they need to know. Maybe they don't realize they have something going on. Isn't that tough? That just feels heavy to me. Don't we like to avoid a problem? Don't we like to not talk about, let's not talk about the problem. Let's not talk about the elephant in the room. When God wants us to deal with that thing and shoo it on out. God wants us to be about his business and work, but work together. See, God's getting us ready for something easily first. There is God at work, and he's working in a mighty way. Through the past week, I've been warned by God. And I don't feel led to share it, but the warning is that we must hear from God. That's all I feel led to share. We've got to know that it's God. God wants to work in us. He wants to move in us and through us, and I see it breaking forth. I see him breaking forth. You have a ministry, you have a calling, you have a work, and there's giftings of the Holy Spirit that's being given. And anytime these things are happening, the enemy does try to cause disruptions. I know not of any of these disruptions, but I feel this spiritual warfare throughout this week. And God wants to do all that he has promised to do. And he is at work, and he will be faithful to his word. But we must be in line with him. Not legalistically. Not like a perfectionist trying to make it exactly right. But allowing God to move through us as we feel him leading us. Step into it. Follow his lead. Sometimes that takes moving out of our comfort zones and moving forward. Sometimes we may fear. That says to us that there's an issue here. We do have fear, but give it to God and he will see us through. We need encouraged by one another to do this. So the Bible says for us to encourage one another. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted. Look around you. Are there any that are struggling, that are faint in their heart? They seem to be struggling with something. And maybe they're not showing up. Maybe they're not here. Rather than ask questions too much and not call them or go meet with them. Because we don't want to get caught up in a gossipy thing, and the soul matters more. Talk to them, pray for them, seek God for them, allow God to move and help them if they're faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all, God says. Be patient. Be patient with them all. Patience. We need patience. We need God. See, patience is something that tells us that we have, something that we have that helps us just to be like this. Not in a hurry. Some things can't get fixed right away. We need patience when someone says something that's offensive to us. We need patience not to just judge it as that's it, that's all, I'm not speaking to you again. We need the patience of the Lord with the souls that we have in our homes and in our lives, in our church, in our community. Patience to see those seeds planted and planted as God wants them, where God wants them. We need patience in the harvesting, patience in the watering, in all that is to be done in this great harvest. We must have patience. There's someone who knows about patience. He's out there training these young people on the soccer field. It takes patience to help them break through a bad habit and get things on track where they can make a goal. Or help a team member who is on the field make the goal and then watch it happen. That's teamwork. It takes patience for the coach to just help them figure it out and work through things, because if they have it in here, it'll come out on the field. This is the same. If we have it in here and it's not been given to God and it's a mess going on in here, jealousy, envy, strife, all of these things, gossiping, backbiting, complaining, murmuring, it will come out on the field. It'll come out in the church, and it won't be anything but toxic. It will be destructive to whom? It will be destructive to the very church. The church will prevail. But relationships can be broken. And the church is made weaker, not as productive as it could be. There's a warning in this. Be careful how we encourage. Be patient with them all. Verse 15 says, seeing that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone, not just to each other, but to everyone. Seek to do good. That's how you avoid doing evil. Seek to do good. Rejoice always. Pray without seeking. The Bible is saying how we are to The Bible's talking about the gifts of helps. It says help the weak. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 talks about the giftings, and you know people, they don't think about the gifts of help being as an important gift, but it is a vitally important gift. The gifts of helps is helping one another out. And that is part of this. Helping the weak. Be patient to them. Seeing that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to the one another and to everyone. This is instructions Paul is giving the church. And God is telling us how to avoid retaliating when evil's done to us. How to avoid retaliating with evil ourselves. There's no good thing that comes out of anger in the wrong way. Anger's normal. Anger happens. It needs to be able to happen, but we must be careful. And we need to give it to the Lord. When we become angry, we need to acknowledge, yes, I'm angry, and here's why I'm angry. God, I need your help. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. If it keeps stirring up in you, keep giving it to the Lord, because people are going to offend you. And the offenses can be really hard to take. But you have a resource. We have a resource in Christ Jesus who helps us. He carries that cross with us. We don't have to carry it alone, but we do need to bear it. For the soul's sake of the people who are struggling, in the moment that they're struggling, wherever they're struggling at, and for whatever reason that they're struggling. Sometimes it comes from years of experience of being harmed and hurt. And sometimes they just woke up on the bad side of the bed that day. We need grace and mercy. We need God for us to help people and help one another and encourage one another. We do need patience. And James 5, 7 through 9 says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Be patient. Don't grumble against one another. Brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. That's a stern warning. Judge, the judge is standing at the door, Paul exclaims. He's standing at the door. Oh, how the Lord wants us to encourage one another and love one another. It is God's will for us. And there's a reason God wants to bless us. Now, regarding God's will for our lives in Christ Jesus, he does want us to rejoice always. He does want us to pray without ceasing. He does want us to give thanks, and we did that today. He wants these things, and I'll read these verses. Verse 16 says, rejoice always. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Verse 16 says, give thanks in all circumstances. I hear the word all a lot in this, and that doesn't just mean on the good days. That means on the hard days, the bad days, the struggling days, when we feel like it, when we don't feel like it, when things are great, when things are people are treating us right, when they're treating us wrong. God says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. It's called contentment. In Christ, we can have contentment. And then he follows it up with this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Paul also goes on forward to give instructions regarding discernment, regarding sort of looking at something and saying, yes, this is the way that I need to go. This is the truth. This is right. And you know, we can't discern anything in this old world without God. We can't assume that we know because there's a sin of assumption. We must hear from God and know. This is the word of God. This is the way. Walk in it. We have to have God. Discernment's important. The first thing that he is saying to us is don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't put a stop to what's going on. Don't hold it up. Don't despise prophecies. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from all evil in every and all form. And I'll read. Verse 19 says, do not quench the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God, don't quench the Spirit. And one of the biggest places that we can quench the Spirit in corporate worship is disobeying him by not coming to the altar when he wants you to come. There's only a you and God that knows it. And I just want to encourage you that any time the Lord says to you and puts in your spirit to go forward and kneel or to come to the front row if you can't kneel and sit and pray, it doesn't matter if we're in worship or if I'm in the middle of preaching, or it doesn't matter if God speaks to you to move. Be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Lord loves you. He wants you to be encouraged, and he wants us to encourage one another. And that is what I am doing right here, that you be encouraged to just be obedient as the Lord leads you. Just be obedient and move. Do not quench the Spirit. And do not fear. I don't want you to be afraid. Like, be stuck in, oh, am I quenching the Spirit? Oh, am I not? Oh, am I? I don't want you to be, the Lord doesn't want you to be afraid. Do not worry. Do not fear. God is going to teach us whatever we're lacking in. We have all the ingredients we need. All we need to do now is trust the process. God's in control. All we need you is yield. And as we grow, and we will, in here, closer to Him, our hearing will become closer attuned to what He wants. Do not quench the Spirit, He says. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. And there it is, the space of testing, of knowing, is this the right thing to do or not? The closer we get, the more that we get closer to God and have an understanding and learning His Word. And that's why it's so important to have the Word taught as well as preached. We must have teaching in the house of God, of the Word of God, the very life. This is our life, our eternal life. These words, as Kay so often says, of eternal life. We need to hear and learn and grow and be able to test everything. Verse 21, hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. I did a little abstaining. I probably did a lot of abstaining from evil this week, and you have too. But flipping that channel and turning that TV off is one way. Nope. Now, don't sit with that evil that comes across that thing. It's very evil. You would be surprised at what has been taught to Americans today and ingrained in growing up to the point where people believe that God created barbarians, or maybe that they just developed out of some creature. Evolution is a lie. God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. And God blessed them. God told them to multiply. They weren't stupid. If we could go back and look at the ark that Noah built, we would know. Oh my, what an amazing thing God did. God's instructions in play. And in closing today, we're going to look at 23, verse 23 and 24. Now, verse 23, Paul begins to pray. He says, and he blesses them. He's still writing. But there's prayer in this, and there's blessing in this, and there's prophecy in this. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, that's our spirit, and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 23. And may the God of peace. Remember that peace? When we are encouraging one another, that's what we want to give. A way to get to God, to help, not turn them out in a way necessarily, but bring them in. Not scatter them out, bring them in. Love them, show them the way to peace. God wants us to have peace. Peace is difficult. There is trouble. There is stuff that happens as we are working towards peace. It is hard. I can speak to this. When you find something within yourself you want to change and you need to change, you may need to go somewhere and ask people for help. Certainly, hopefully, we go to God first. If we're a Christian, if we're Christ's, we'll go to God first. We'll talk to God. We'll go to the Word. We'll search it out. We'll be on our knees. We'll go find someone who has that has the ability given by God to help us. Maybe that person be a godly counselor. Maybe someone is having a struggle within their marriage or within parenting or with something, and they're at a loss. No, I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end. And I don't know how to do this anymore. I don't know. I've tried everything. I don't quite understand. God wants us to have peace. Sometimes it takes working. I'm telling you, the first step into an office where you're going to tell somebody all things that you don't know exactly what you're going to share. We need to have a place of confidentiality, a place of being able to lay it and work on it, which hurts sometimes. We may share tears. We may sob. We may cry. You may be before God in that place of confidence, crying out to God, and God is listening. He wants us to have peace. Paul has prayed for them. Paul is speaking to them. He's writing this, and he says, now may the God of peace himself, and he blesses them, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is our blessed hope. He who calls you is faithful. He who calls you is faithful, he says in verse 24. He will surely do it. He will surely do it. Now that's encouragement. He will surely do it. There's no doubt in that. There's no doubt. Paul wants us, God wants us to know. I want us to know. That we need to keep doing the things that are good that we are doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. There is blessing coming that we never thought of. Could even be possible. In God's hands, anything is possible. You know, he owns the cattle on a thousand hill. He can meet every need. You know, his blood is powerful, and he can heal, and he still does that today, and he can heal. You know, Jesus is the baptizer. Jesus is the one. We can't work up the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can't work that up. We can't make that happen on our own. We can't scream and holler enough or whatever we might do. Not that that's it. I mean, that may the Lord move on you how he moves on you, and may you respond in the way that you respond in his will. But Jesus is the baptizer, and he will just seek him.